is in the room as well. So there's like, there's so many different people coming together to learn about collaboration, learn about Gen Z. And I'm just so expectant for this weekend or these 2 days here. I just wanted to go into the bottom line for what I want to talk about today is the title of the message I'm going to be sharing right now is Collaboration Unto Fruitfulness. And so the bottom line for it is the overall goal of this session is to stir faith in you for spirit-led collaboration that produces greater fruitfulness in reaching, equipping, and activating Gen Z. I believe that collaboration is necessary for the Great Commission to be accomplished. And so one of the fun things about this message is that for me, this is not a recycled message. This is very much of a fresh thing that the Lord's been speaking to me. And so if you're like, man, why did he put that point ahead of that point? It's because I'll probably do it different next time if I get a chance to teach it again. But this is a really fresh thing that I feel the Lord's been speaking to me. It's not a hard to understand thing, but it's been really fresh for me to learn from him. I heard a great quote that said, the church didn't receive a great commission, the great commission received the church. And so what that quote kind of speaks to is that the church was a response to the great commission from Jesus, in the sense that the great commission was given and then the body of Christ came together to go underneath that vision of the great commission. Whereas a lot of times, especially like growing up, I think we think of the church as the established thing. I'm talking a capital C church, not individual churches, but like the church, the body of Christ. And then once the body of Christ was formed, then the Great Commission was given. But it's actually like in his commissioning, then we actually needed each other and we had unity around him. And the like Noah said, the Great Commission is actually, it's not just a thing to chip away at in our lifetime. It's actually, it's a commission or a task to be accomplished. And so like When Jesus entrusted us to this mission, he entrusted it to us as a whole body of Christ, and not as individuals that would be able to take it on. Like maybe one church has the catalytic leader that could speak and bring in the most people to the body of Christ. It's not that one person that could bring it into that one ministry. It's all of us in the body of Christ collaborating together. Like YWAM would be more of like the mobile church, and then there'd be the local church, and we'd kind of form the global church family. And so looking at us all as a family, like how are we going to complete this task together? And the cool thing is that Gen Z longs for authenticity, meaning, belonging, and they're deeply motivated by justice and wanting to see injustices made right. And I want to see the mercy of God. And then they're also very motivated. They crave collaboration, unity, and shared vision. So I guess, funny story, kind of as we define what is collaboration. Funny story for me is that like, Noah mentioned that I'm the guy that's always looking for how can we collaborate. And one of the funny things is that internally, that's actually been something I've had to push into. Because as an example of a funny story that happened, there was I'm trying to collaborate with different people in the body of Christ, and there's one of my buddies that is like a recent friendship that I like, okay, this person's leading a successful ministry, and then they reach out to me, they're saying, hey, do you want to come to this gathering that we're having? And I'm like, yes, that sounds great. And it's like, hey, do you want to rally the YWAM Orlando crew to come to the gathering? I'm like, yeah, that sounds awesome. It's like, this is partnership, this is collaboration, let's go to it. And then went to it, and it ended up being it was an event, and we basically just attended the event, and it was their event that we attended. And I was coming in hoping for this like collaborative thing going on. Not that I would be on stage necessarily at all. It was just that I was kind of like excited for some collaboration. And then it was like, we attended the event. We're probably a number on the event attendance sheet. And then we left. And then there wasn't a ton of like, it was kind of like there wasn't much communication afterward. And the thing is that's not evil. Like it was cool because we got to go to the event. We were like ministered to at the event. It wasn't bad. But there's a deeper level of collaboration that I'm talking about, not just an attendance to an event that like I'm running an event. Could you come attend my event so you can be ministered to at the event, or worse, bolster the numbers of the event. And so thinking about collaboration, I think of like kind of the stages leading up to like really deep collaboration. And then the start of it is just like kind of human nature, sinful nature, would be like competition, would be like our starting place. It's like, I'm looking out for myself. And then the way that looks in the ministry world, unfortunately, is like we have the amazing ministry. Like we're the ones that really know how to worship. We're the ones that really know how to preach. We're the ones that really know how to study scripture. And then we see people online that are like, man, they're teaching some weirdness over there, or their worship is not as anointed, or what. Like, it's like, that's a competitive, that's competition level. None of us want to live there. That's, I feel like we'll all, if you're here, then you're in the same boat of me, of like, I don't want to live my life in competition with the body of Christ. That's not what we want to do. And then the next step would be I'm calling it transactional collaboration. Would be like the next stage above that, which would be, I'm running an event. Would you bring people to this event? And the thing is that transactional, it's not bad. It's actually good. It's like, you can be, the people that you bring will be ministered to at an event that I would run. But it is like the idea for it would be like, it's kind of similar to like an exchange of resources. That's why I called it transactional, where it's like, I've seen this before. It's like, kind of, you do your thing, I'll do mine, and then maybe we'll share the outcomes of it. And it can be, it's functional, but it can be shallow. And that's one of the things I've seen is that that's usually stage one of trying to figure out, can we go to a deeper friendship, is the transactional collaboration. So I'm not dogging on it. I'm not saying it's the worst, because that's sometimes a way to kind of intro into a friendship, into a relationship. So it's actually a good thing. But the thing is that I think that for us to see the Great Commission accomplished, we have to have a deeper level of collaboration. And so just to define like a deep collaboration or a partnership is another way to call that, would be that you would have shared values, shared vision, and then also shared sacrifice as well. Co-creating, the second point that I had there is that you'd be co-creating with one another and the Holy Spirit. So it's not just your vision that I come along with, or my vision that you come along with. It's that we would come together, we would co-create the vision with God, or where are we going to, and dreaming together. So it's based in friendship, based in vulnerability, trust, unity, and listening to God together. Okay, so honest story and a little bit of a confession, though, is that for me, when it comes to collaboration, as like a personality, I love like friendship, I love hanging out, and I love doing things together. And so I'm naturally predisposed to collaboration. But with many experiences of collaboration, like I've started to kind of get to this place where I was like, I was viewing it in this way of like, we'll collaborate when it's helpful or when it's necessary. But beyond that, I just don't want to slow down. I want to run. I want to go fast. And that's just, it's a confession. Maybe you guys are way more amazing than I am. You've never experienced that emotion and you love collaboration from the start, but I totally had that. And so my question then is like, what's the motivation for us to collaborate? Why should we collaborate? Because collaboration unto itself is not necessarily a virtue unto itself unless it's rooted in Scripture. So let's go to Scripture. First point that I want to make, this one is kind of a bit more general. It's not a scripture reference, but the collaboration, I believe, reflects the unity that we find in God's leadership in the Trinity. So we see God's leadership in the Trinity is that there's three distinct persons in the Trinity that are collaborating together to lead us to create the world. And so he actually models collaboration, that it's not just a one entity doing the thing, but it's actually a three-part the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, unity that leads us. Second point is that God loves when his church is unified. So you can write this down as Psalm 133. So it's a whole chapter, but I'll just quote verse 1 and then the last verse. In ESV, it says, "Behold, how good and pleasant is it when brothers dwell in unity." And at the end of the chapter, it says, "For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." And so there's like, it seems clear that God loves unity. And so when we operate in unity, it's saying that he commands a blessing. I'm so curious to understand more about what that means. And so that's something that I'm excited to dive into. I don't actually know the full extent of what that verse would mean and all its applications, but what the least we can draw from that, at the very least, is that he loves unity. And so we can draw that from that. The other part is that reason why we would collaborate is that leads to greater fruitfulness. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, it says, "Two are better than one because they have good return on their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so as I was studying this passage, it's just like, it's about like protection and safety, helping each other, like being with each other in times of need, comforting each other. So there's this power in unity that actually like produces greater fruitfulness. And it's not just a sum of the parts. So it's not my effort plus your effort equals double the effort. It typically is that when it's my effort plus your effort, that there's more that comes out of it than just addition, that it's multiplication. Last thing, for the reasons that kind of was like, I was coaching myself and okay, why should I do collaboration more than just when it's necessary, but I should actually pursue it as a goal, is that collaboration is a witness to the world. So John 17, 22 through 23 says, I have given them the glory that you have given me. So this is Jesus talking to the Father. He says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world, and this is the key verse here, then the world will know that you sent me, Jesus, and have loved them, the church, even as you have loved me. So for the sake of this generation knowing God, that's one of the biggest reasons to be able to showcase the unity in Christ, to know that Jesus was real and that he called us all as a body of Christ together, and it's a witness to the world that Jesus is real and that he loves us.
What's that? What was the reference?
Reference for that one? Good question. John 17, 22 through 23. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I had the opportunity this summer to take a two-month leadership school. And during that time, I felt the Lord was challenging me that I needed to, in my leadership, I needed to be focused on bigger problems. I needed to be taking bigger risks. And I needed to dream with him so that he could shape my vision, that I wouldn't just be going after the vision that I think is right, but I'd be going after his vision. Again, very normal, but this is something that he's been challenging me in. And so I just wanted to put some challenges before us that we can look at and say like, okay, what are the challenges that the world is facing right now that we can actually rally to? Beyond like the instead of dreaming in the way of, can we fill schools at YWAM? Or can we fill attendance at church? Or can we do great ministry from one of our ministries? Is there anything we can look to that we're solving that's a bigger problem that would actually take great faith to solve and great risk to solve? And so some of the things that just as a, some of the challenges in the world today, so these are the bad news things. And so there's a list of bad news, but there's a list of good news after it. So you take a deep breath and then don't worry, the good news is coming after. So bad news first. So first one, and this is one is like really hard to hear, is that every day 154,000 people die without faith in Jesus. So it's going to a Christless eternity. And so that, beyond anything, is like a motivation to dream big for the lost in the world. That we wouldn't just like grow marginally, or we wouldn't just grow our ministry, but that we would see the lost reached in the world because they don't know Jesus. Today there are over 7,000 unreached people groups. And unreached means there's less than 2% Christian and they lack the ability to grow the body of Christ in that area. So 7,000 unreached people groups. Third one, there are only 3% of all missionaries in the world that are considering going to the unreached. And so out of all the missionaries in the world, there's only 3% of them that are considering going to the unreached. So it's this major crisis that actually isn't being solved currently. Second one, or fourth one, roughly 2% of Christians would ever lead someone to know Jesus in their lifetime. That's a really tough one to hear. And it really challenges me. I'm like, man, I need to be sharing the gospel so much more. Like I need to be going out and being like bold with my faith and really increasing that. But the thing is that I think a lot of times what I'll do is I'll be like, man, how can I increase the amount that I share the gospel? Like, would God ask you to dream about how can I get the body of Christ activated into sharing the gospel with me? Because what if we could increase that percentage? And the beauty of it is that Gen Z, they did a study on Gen Z. I'm sure we'll talk about this in a later time as well. But they did a study on Gen Z Christians in America. And Gen Z Christians in America, it was 80% of them shared their faith within the last year. So you've got this, the whole body of Christ, that only 2% of them would see whatever leads somebody to know Jesus or to follow Jesus in their lifetime. And we have a generation that's saying, actually most of the generation of Christians in Gen Z Christians are like, well, why would I not share my faith? Because Jesus is so good. And so there is hope. I lied. I gave you a little tiny bit of hope in the bad news category. Let's see. Last two ones. I'll kind of go quick on these ones. Currently, there is only one Christian missionary in the Muslim world for every 405,000 Muslim people. So one for every 405,000. Perspective-wise, currently we're in Lake County. That's a county in Florida. And I did some like stats just to say, like, it's hard to know like 405,000 people. I don't think I've ever seen that amount of people before. So I'm like, how would you know what that is? What I realized is that you basically, if you look on a map, to get out of Lake County from here, you have to drive, let's see, I wrote it down. You have to drive west or northwest of Orlando, 30 minutes, 35 minutes south, or an hour north. So basically it's like you'd have to drive in those directions for half an hour, or an hour to get out of the range of what one missionary covers, which is insane. And so there's a great, great need in the nations, especially in the Muslim world as well. Last one, and we'll get out of the bad news category. The last one is a funding challenge. Only 12% of local of the income of like tithes and giving to church. Only 12% of it goes to local and national outreach. Only a little under 6% goes to global foreign missions, and 0.1% goes to missions in the unreached. So there's basically this funding challenge that out of all the money coming into the body of Christ, there's only a tiny allocation for this massive problem that is out there. So this is the bad news. I'm gonna take a deep breath. You guys ready for some good news? All right, good, I'm glad. All right, so good news. So there's some things that are happening in the Great Commission all over the world that I think is a sign of the time, and a sign of how like God wants to do something great in our time. The first one is Iran and Afghanistan have some of the fastest growing Jesus movements today. And Iran is the number one fastest growing population of Christianity on earth today, in Iran. Like, when have you been hearing about revival in Iran? Most likely you haven't been hearing much about revival in Iran, but it's the number one growing Christian community in the world. There's a 2018 stat that said every 20 seconds an Indonesian Muslim person was turning to Jesus. That's wild. For the first time in history, there are Bible-believing Christians in every single nation on earth. This one is wild to me. There are more Muslims that have come to faith in the last 20 years than in the last 1,400 years of Muslim history. So since the start of Islam, all the way until now, there's been more in the last 20 years that have come to know Jesus than in the last all of Islam's history. Unreached people groups, there's one really encouraging story, and this is some of the thing that has kind of stirred my faith for collaboration, is that there was unreached people groups. When you think there's unreached people groups, there's 2% or fewer of Christians in that area. And there's another term that was unreached and unengaged. And so then the definition for that one is that there's not a single known church believer or missionary that is reaching that people group. So it's not adopted by any church. There's no funding going there. There's no missionaries going there. And so there's like, basically there's nothing happening whatsoever. And it's like, I think it was less than 1% Christian. So there might be some Christians that are in the country, but they're not activated, or they're not going out, or they don't have any support. And so that was, let's see, out of the questioning on like, okay, how many unreached and unengaged people groups are there in the world? In 2000, there were 3,158 remaining unreached and unengaged people groups. So there's a people group that has zero chance of knowing Jesus. Unless someone would go in and go into their community, into their group, and find a way to bring the gospel to them. And so then there was a group that formed, thinking of collaboration, there's a group that formed across missions, organizations, and denominations and said that this shouldn't be. They saw this problem, they rose to it, and they're like, this shouldn't be. Can we come together and form an initiative that would say that by the end of our lives, that there would be no more unreached and unengaged people groups in the world? And so it was in 2022, and so this is an old stat, so I'm assuming it's better now, but the number went from, so this is a 22-year gap that happened when the body of Christ across different like boundary lines came together and decided they wanted to finish the task. The organization that they formed together was called Finishing the Task, that was the initiative. And it went from 3,158 in 22 years to 144. And so this is the power of like collaboration, that if we come together and we seek the Lord on how to solve these problems in the world, I believe that these aren't insurmountable problems, because we serve a God that is able to solve any problem. But we are finite, and we need to partner together to see these great things happen in the world. All right, so, and then last one, we live in really exciting times. The Bible translations are ramping up to the place that the goal that an organization has put together, there's a couple organizations that have predicted, is that by 2033, that almost every single one of the major languages in the world will have at least the New Testament in their heart language. Which is wild. There's many more that are more like what would be considered by the main organizations dialects and in smaller languages. And one of the cool things, I don't think we'll get to talk about it this time around, but there's an initiative called Oral Mother Tongue. And it's an initiative to bring an audio version of the Bible into a language of people groups that don't have any access to scripture. And some of these languages are considered, like I remember hearing the stat, and this kind of stirred my heart, like we have to do something about it, was one of the languages they were saying that it was considered a dialect of another language. And so it was not gonna receive a translation, because they're like, well, you most likely know that other language. And the differences were greater or about the same as the differences between Portuguese and Spanish. And so it'd be like somebody, like if there's somebody that speaks Spanish and they read a Portuguese Bible, you can actually retain some of it, you can understand some of it, and it wouldn't take too long for you to pick it up. But it's not your heart language. It's a foreigner speaking to you. And so then the feeling is that then there's a foreigner God speaking to you. But God's not a foreigner God, he's an intimate God. Okay, so, and then the last really good news is that Gen Z, 52% of Bible-believing Christians in Gen Z said that they would consider foreign missions as an occupation, as a career. And so that's over half of a generation that would say, like, the funny thing about when you look more into the stats of Gen Z, there's like low biblical literacy, not maybe understanding on what is the Great Commission, where can you find it in scripture as a whole generation. Like, I'm not sure what that is. Like, do you know what the Great Commission is? I'm not sure. Like, well, do you know, like, where it would be in the Bible, or the theme of like what Jesus said? It's like, I'm not quite sure. It's like, okay, would you want to go to a foreign nation and share with people about Jesus? Like, oh yeah, I want to do that. That sounds awesome. And so this is the generation that we have. It's the active generation. Okay, so I gotta speed up. Okay, my question for us today is that, like me, when I was saying I was going to this school for 2 months in Kona, learning about leadership, and then God expanding my vision, asking me to dream bigger. My question is like I might be like, there's some of you in the room that are like, I dream so big all the time, I probably need to tone it down. There's probably some of you like that in the room. But the truth is that given time, it's really, really easy to have in a conference like this, to have a big vision or to say big vision things. But then as time goes on, you figure out, okay, that didn't work. And then you start to kind of reduce something down to a manageable level. And I just feel the challenge of the Lord to not go for safe dreams or manageable vision, but to go for something more. And so what if instead of going for a fruitful outreach, speaking to like if you're going on a mission trip or those of you students that are going on outreach, what if instead of going like, man, I hope my outreach is fun, I hope my outreach is fruitful. Like, what if we had an expanded vision of an outreach, where it's like, what if we were able to partner with the Holy Spirit and what he's already doing and see awakening spark in that region that leads to nation transformation? Like, what if we got to be a part of something like that? Well, it would take partnering with churches, partnering with other missions organizations, figuring out what the problem is and like, where are the unreached people groups? Okay, I'll take this part of the unreached people groups. You take that part of the unreached people groups. It would take collaboration to a different level. And what if instead of thinking of having filled schools or filled churches or packed houses, what if we dreamed of a whole generation getting activated into living like missionaries in their jobs, in their high schools, in their colleges, in the whatever field they're a part of? That's like truly multiplication happening, and that many could know Jesus out of that. And so the last thing I wanted to share before we take a small break, and then we're gonna actually take some time to talk around our tables. I was thinking of, well, okay, what does it take for deep collaboration and partnership? And so I came up with four keys for deep collaboration and partnership. If you wanna write these down, feel free. So the first one that I really feel is what it takes to have deep collaboration and partnership, the key, number one, is genuine friendship and affection. Genuine relationships create safety, trust, and joy. That in genuine friendship, you would celebrate each other's wins, you would mourn with them when they mourn, you would rally to them when there's need. But I think that like when you look at Paul's letters to the church, they were like dripping with affection. He's like, I long to be with you. Like, I don't know if I've, like when I was in Kona, I didn't text Jacob and be like, man, I long to be with you. I'm like, that was like a crazy affection that I'm like, man, I want to elevate to that level of affection for my friends and for people that we're collaborating with. That is not just collaborative in the sense of like, we are collaborators, but now like we can go past that to friendship. Second one is wholehearted generosity. So the reason why I say this is not that we would like, okay, that's not me. Okay, now we're gonna take an offering. I'm not saying that. What I am saying though is that it's a generosity of being wholehearted and bringing your whole self to the table. We have weaknesses, like Noah was saying, we have strengths, we have ideas and passions. And so the charge that I would give to you is, would we bring all of those to the table and not withhold, but would we generously give the things that are heavy on our hearts, the things that are burning on our hearts, would we be generous with people to be able to have each other carry each other's burdens and each other's passions together? So wholehearted generosity. Third, unprecedented unity and agreement. And so this one, obviously, if you look across the body of Christ in general, unity and agreement is a high bar. It's hard to attain because there's many disagreements that we have. But what I think it takes is it takes unity to be able to have like to have agreement on a shared vision that we're going after. And I think we can disagree on so many different things on the minors, but then on the majors, we need to rally under the banner of Jesus. We need to believe that the Bible is accurate and true. There's some pillars that we need to agree on together, but could we put a lot of weight in the majors and then not very much weight in the minors so that we could come together and we would be known as people of unity? And then the agreement section there is, will we be able to come into alignment with a vision together that would be like, okay, I'm actually going to sacrifice a little bit on my end, you'll sacrifice a little bit on your end, so we can see this thing happen together. Last one, for the fourth key for deep collaboration and partnership, is that it needs to be God-led vision birthed in fervent intercessory prayer. That was a long point, sorry. It was honestly 2 points that I put into one. So, so it's God-led vision birthed in fervent intercessory prayer. So fervent intercessory prayer is the birthplace for shared vision. If I come to you and I'm saying, hey, this is my vision, I want to give this vision to you, and then maybe you can join me in this vision. The thing is that it's the first tier where it's like you can be a part of it, but what if we came together and we said, hey, what is the Lord sharing with us? Because he shared this with me, but what if we come together and he's going to share something different and new? And the idea that it's not one leader's idea or one charismatic voice or one visionary voice that is leading the charge, but it's actually the Holy Spirit speaking to the whole that is leading us together. And it's mutually discerning God's invitation to us. Okay, so those are the four keys: genuine friendship and affection, wholehearted generosity, unprecedented unity and agreement, and God-led vision birthed in fervent intercessory prayer. But what we're going to do What we're going to do is, my hope for you is that you're filled with some faith for collaboration. And if there's maybe some questions that you've had about collaboration and what the reason is for it, what the purpose is for it, that some of those are answered for you. If there's still some question in your heart on like, man, this collaboration thing sounds difficult or sounds hard. Some of you are probably like, I was bought in before you started talking. I love collaboration. It's awesome. If you're in the zone of like, I'm still trying to figure out, is it really worth it? Then let the Lord speak to you. I can't convince you. Of this collaboration thing. The Lord has to be the one to convince you. But what we're going to do is that we're going to take a little break. And then once we come back from the break, we're going to do some collaboration together. We're going to actually listen to the Lord together and spend time in prayer. We're going to ask the Lord to give us vision together. And so, yeah, I'll give a little bit more intro when we get to that time. But that's about collaboration, and I'm going to pass it off to Noah before we go to break.
Yeah, so we'll take a little break here. So we got some snacks and some more coffee for you guys. A little fun thing, the coffee was roasted by our own Jacob Nelson.
Yeah, Jacob Nelson! So,
pretty much this time is a Colombian coffee that is a little bit more like light